Please be seated. So the day of Pentecost marks the dramatic climax of the great 50 days of Easter. Now the full power of the resurrection is revealed in an outpouring of God's energy. Just as God's breath breathed life into creation, at Pentecost the transforming power of the Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples. The disciples were gathered in Jerusalem on the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, as it was known to Greek-speaking Jews, as this festival occurred 50 days after Passover. During the first century, the festival came to be associated with the giving of the Torah to Moses at Mount Sinai. Thus, for Jews, Pentecost meant the birth of Judaism, and so Luke takes this opportunity to mark this festival in a new and exciting way as the birth of the Christian church. The Celtic church, that early Middle Ages church encompassing all of the Celtic-speaking world, has made a resurgence in the last 50 years or so. The community on Iona, an island on the northwestern coast of Scotland, is a home of Celtic life today. There are a couple of monasteries, retreat centers, ancient burial grounds, and the tomb of St. Columba, the Celts' patron saint. The Celts were known for their earthy spirituality. Nowhere is this more apparent than in their understanding of the Holy Spirit. Breaking from Rome and the West's image of the dove as the image of the Holy Spirit, the Celts chose the wild goose as their symbol of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be aware, maybe some of you have even attended the Wild Goose Festival just up the road in Hot Springs, North Carolina. While Rome and the West imagined the Holy Spirit in the form of a peaceful, graceful dove, the ancient Celts understood the Holy Spirit to be like a wild goose. When you hear of the Spirit descending like a heavenly dove on you, you might hear harps and strings softly playing and feel peaceful. The image of the Holy Spirit as a dove has become so familiar and domesticated that we pay little attention. The image of a wild goose descending upon you is a different matter altogether. A wild goose is a noisy, annoying, and obnoxious bird. I think it is an appropriate image of the Holy Spirit because it jars us out of our complacency. It is also very accurate. What the Holy Spirit calls us to do is not easy. It is outside our comfort zone. We need such an image to correct our overly safe and overly sweet image of the Spirit. The disciples gathered on that first Pentecost knew that what God had started with Jesus and was now doing with them would not always be sweet and safe. But they also knew that everyone needed to hear it, to experience it. That moment the wild goose came upon them, their lives were changed forever. We are here today because of them. Those ordinary men and women were turned into apostles and sent out into the world by the Holy Spirit. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard, Peter says later in Acts. We are the beneficiaries of their bold proclamations. Now, there will come a moment, sometime in the future, maybe for some of us it has already happened, that we encountered a situation when we will have to speak and act of what you know and believe about God. I don't know what you will do or say. Maybe you will talk about a low point in your life, a time when you were really, really scared and then you weren't anymore. Maybe you'll talk about a time when you heard the words, "Christ died for me," and you really believe those words deep in your bones for the very first time. Maybe you'll talk about some situation that looked absolutely hopeless, with no prospect of anything but angry words and bitter feelings, and then there was a breakthrough. Someone spoke to you or did something special for you, a chance to make a new beginning, and you knew that God was there. Confidence, joy, assurance, peace. Who wouldn't want to hear about these things? And I don't know what you will say or do, but you'll know, because that's what the Spirit of God does for us. There is a film that I hope you get a chance to see, and I have a copy of it, and if you'd like to take it home, you're more than welcome. It is called Lord, Save Us from Your Followers. Funny, good title. The Holy Spirit, that wild goose, is everywhere in the film, challenging us to think about the church, our neighbors, who we disagree with, and how we live Christ's love in the world. One part talks about a program called Night Strike in Portland, Oregon, where volunteers show up every Thursday night to feed, clothe, cut and wash hair, and wash the feet of the poor, the destitute, the homeless, and the marginalized. I can guarantee that the wild goose was present the first few times each individual showed up. But now those who come get more out of it than those who receive. Imagine yourself washing the dirty feet of a homeless child of God. The Holy Spirit empowers each and every one of us as the church to be the agent of change in the world. The task we are called is to breathe in the Spirit and be inspired by the Spirit to act on behalf of God. However, in reality, most of us have been waiting far too long to exhale. As the Spirit of God flows into us, as we breathe in the Spirit, it must also flow out of us in the way we treat one another, the way we speak to one another, in the way we treat all our neighbors, no matter their status, race, sex, wealth, or power. There is this story that I love to tell. And since I've only been here 8 months, you haven't heard it. So I am saying, there was a lady who had a small house on the seashore of Ireland at the turn of the century. And she was quite wealthy, but also quite frugal. And the people were surprised when she decided to be among the first to have electricity in her home. And several weeks after the installation, the meter reader appeared at her door. And he asked her if her electricity was working well, and she assured him that it was. And he says, "I'm wondering then if you can explain something to me. Your meter shows scarcely any usage. Are you using the power?" "Oh, yes," she answered. "Each evening when the sun sets, I turn on my lights just long enough to light my candles. And then I turn the lights." As you can tell, she's tapped into the power, but doesn't use it. Her house is connected, but not altered. Don't we also often make the same mistake? We too, with our souls saved, but our hearts unchanged, connected, but not altered, trusting Christ for salvation, but resisting transformation. We occasionally will flip the switch, but most of the time we settle for the shadows. Our day-to-day lives, on the whole, are probably a little less spectacular than the dramatic scene we heard from the book of Acts. But the Holy Spirit is no less present to us now than it was to them then. There may not be tongues of flame and the sound of a powerful wind, but God's Spirit is present here now, present in this place, present within each one of you, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that God's Spirit is with you right now, what will you do? What will you say? What will we do as a community of faith? Will we keep trying to tame the wild goose, or will we let it lead us to new and exciting places? When you do decide to act, it will be a gift to the world. When you do act, it will be something to behold. It will be the glory of God, a human person alive with the Holy Spirit, the wild goose telling the truth, spreading the word, taking action in the world.